Hello and welcome to episode 8 of the Wasting Time podcast. I'm Quinn. This week we've got some news from NoFX. We've got some tour dates from Off With Their Heads. We're going to discuss the new albums from Muncie Girls and The Lippies. And I think before we get into anything else, we should do some introductions.
I'm Darren. How's it going?
Hi, Darren. Hi, I'm Chris. And this week we have with us Mike Turner from Pacer. Hi, Mike.
What's up, guys?
Hello, dude. You all right?
Thanks for coming.
Yeah. this is going to flow well.
Yeah. Well, we'll be talking to Mike later on, obviously. But first, the news. NoFX have got a book coming out.
Oh, yeah?
Published by?
I don't know who it's published by. But it's called The Hepatitis Bathtub and Other Stories.
Mm.
Yeah. I think it's just going to be sort of like about the history of the band a bit, but it's written by Mike. And it's quite
graphic,
like how so?
Right, well, they released like the first chapter or the first few pages of the book today. I'll give you the first line just so you can get an idea of what okay. The subject matter is going to be. Okay,
please do.
The first time I drank piss was on a fire escape overlooking downtown Los Angeles.
Gets your attention.
Yeah, it does a bit, doesn't it? I read that first page. I didn't carry on. He basically talks about his wife.
That's the same start as my book I'm writing.
Is it? Was that on New York Fire Escape? Was it Fat Mike? Did you take turns?
Exactly. At that,
yeah. So yeah, it's going to be a bit no holds barred by the sounds of it. Very opening up.
He is, isn't he?
Yeah. I mean, it's Fat Mike.
Do you think he plays up to it? He's probably like really boring. But he just just puts this persona on.
Probably just did a few things back in the day, and it's just like living off. Living off the love of it. It did read a bit weird. I kind of went on from that, and it goes into like I don't know. Did you guys watch like the Cokie the Clown?
No, I heard about that.
Like, I think it basically seems like he was kind of going into like some of that territory. I think it was.
Oh dear. Okay.
Yeah.
What's this? Another persona.
Yeah, they did like an EP or something called like a single of Cokie the Clown, and they did like South by Southwest, and it was all just kind of
weird.
Yeah, there was various weird tales, and some of them it was like, are they real? I don't quite know quite where everything sat. There was a whole thing that he was supposedly like made a load of people drink piss, but it turned out that it wasn't actually piss. He just like I don't know.
Yeah, I
mean, in the weird. Start of this, he talks about like how after like the fourth or fifth time, it doesn't feel weird to him anymore, and then he'll just offer it to other people, and then they'll be like disgusted by it.
What?
Which you would be.
Yeah, that's legitimate. But why? What? Who are you offering it to? And why have you got it in a pint? Or
just your mates? I guess.
No, like
hanging out.
Just on stage.
Like,
have you ever drank piss before?
Well, no. Surely everyone's in Waterworld and knows you have to have a Kevin, what's his name, sort of machine. Kevin Costner machine. That
I went through so many. In my head, it was Klein.
Yeah,
Stacey,
I was going to say Costner, but I bottled it. Like water. You have to have a machine that turns it back into water, H2O. Because you can't drink piss. It's bad for you.
It's sterile, as far as I'm aware.
Yeah, it's inside, isn't it? Like, Bear Grylls has done it for a fair old while.
Yeah,
I think
he makes a living off of it.
So why Kevin Costner?
Because that was just a film, and it was a bit shit.
Are we saying that compared to Bear Grylls, Kevin Costner's a lightweight? I mean, it's cinematically possible.
Are we saying Waterworld's a bad film?
I am saying Waterworld, yeah.
It can't be that bad. They made a theme park right out
of
it.
Oh, it was bad.
Did they?
I think that was just trying to claw back some of the lost money. Yeah.
Joss Whedon wrote on that film. That's my fun fact for Waterworld. He's uncredited.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Is that this could be true or untrue?
I'm pretty sure it's true.
Alright. I'm so sorry I brought it up now.
Anyway, anyone got any interest in a book about NoFX?
Nah, not really, man.
Nah.
He's pretty outrageous.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, I'm intrigued having read these first couple of pages, but I'm not sure I really want to read any more.
His going off track podcast he did with them was very, like, full on.
Is he funny in it?
He is funny. His wife's very funny as well.
I thought they got divorced. Who was that podcast with? Like, I remember
It was on. I think it got put on Vice and stuff. Because, pardon, what did he ask me?
No,
who was his wife?
I thought they got divorced.
Oh, I think it's his second wife.
Oh, okay.
What was it? One of them.
One of them. I don't know.
Yeah, it was like his first wife was the one that helped set up Fat Wreck.
That's correct.
So I think it was with her, and then now he's with this like
dominatrix
lady.
Cool. She sounds lovely on the podcast.
I'm sure they all are, Darren.
Yeah, people, you know.
Yeah.
Pretty strong fucked up. They had like slaves and stuff for like a couple of years. They had like a slave who lived with them. Not like that kind of slave, like
the good kind.
The good kind of slave.
Yeah, a sort of sex slave.
Oh, well, maybe that'll be in the book. You read all about it.
Yeah, it's just probably.
Okay, well, that's no effects.
Yeah, cheers for that.
Yeah, cheers. Let's move on.
Any other books been released?
No other books
this week.
No, well, I'll give you a review of the book I'm currently reading if you want.
You're good.
Off of Their Heads are going to be in the UK in August. They're over for Rebellion and they've booked some shows.
Sweet.
Around Rebellion weekend.
I saw Matt Skiba promoting them the other day.
I saw that on his Instagram.
That's cool.
Can I tell a cool story about Off of Their Heads?
No. Really?
You can tell a story. We'll decide whether or not it's cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll
do you want to hear it or not?
On a scale of 1 to 9.3.
Like, if 1 to 10 of relevancy to, like, this podcast, it's definitely pushing 11.
Well, you've gone relevancy to from it being cool, so.
So,
come on, Partridge.
Quite a few years ago, I was in San Diego, like, staying with friends, and I was at their local bar. And they introduced me to their friend, who's with another bloke. And we got talking, and I was like, oh, what do you do? He said, oh, I play drums in the band. And the band's called Off With Their Heads. And I was like, oh, no way, I really like that band. Because the band, I think, is from Minnesota or somewhere like that. But this guy, who's from San Diego, happened to find himself in the... I don't know if he's still in the band, but he certainly was at that time. So we started talking about London, and we were talking about Kingston and stuff. And for some reason, we got onto the topic of a fella called Dave House, who I believe is in... your band?
Yeah, as long as you're using an O, not an A.
No, not the loved ones guy. And we got talking about him, and I was like, yeah, he was kind of a friend of a friend. I used to know someone who went out with him, blah, blah, blah. And then he was like, oh, he plays in this awesome band called Pacer. Check him out. And that was the first time that I heard of your band.
Now, that is a cool story and also very relevant.
Told you.
That is incredibly well segued.
How long ago was this?
It would have been...
2010.
Oh, okay.
So just over 5 years ago.
So that was, yeah, that was before you joined Pacer.
Yeah, it was pre me, so, you know, it's probably when it was good and that.
I played with Off of Their Heads at the Fighting Cocks in 2013.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, yes. I did not remember that until I was doing a little bit of research. But I stumbled across it, yeah.
Who's that?
Who was that?
Yeah, who were you playing with?
I was Rivalries.
Was it?
It was Off the Hedge, Rivalries and Resuscitators.
Huh.
Friday the 23rd of August.
Sure there's a reason that I didn't go. Maybe I did go and I completely forgot.
Yeah, I don't remember it at all, so that's that. But yeah, I mean, I quite like Off the Heads.
Yeah, man.
I'm a bit of a fan. Are you going to... I mean, they're playing in Kingston, again, but at the college, not the Fighting Cocks, on the 1st of August. And then they're in Swansea on the 2nd, Rebellion Festival, and then Underworld in Camden on the 5th.
If there's other people going, I'll probably go.
Well,
I've
bought tickets for the 1st, because that's the Wilhelm Scream gig as well.
I was going to say, doing the whole... Is it just the Kingston one with Wilhelm?
I think so, yeah. I think the Underworld's like a headline show for Off Their Heads, whereas Wilhelm are headlining the Kingston show.
Yeah, Wilhelm Scream quality.
Cool. And Pairs are playing that show as well.
Yeah.
What, the Underworld?
Kingston.
Yeah.
So I think that's the one everyone's kind of going to.
Yeah, yeah. If you've bought me a ticket, I'll go.
I haven't bought you a ticket, no. I've bought me a ticket.
For your lonesome?
For me and Carly.
Okay.
Look after number one.
Yeah.
Priorities.
Well, number two.
Number two.
As well.
You can buy your own ticket, mate.
Yeah, I know.
You're capable of doing that, aren't you?
Cool.
All right. So for that, are you a fan? I mean, no, you were talking to the guy.
I like the music a lot.
It'd be quite funny if you didn't. And you had this whole conversation with the guy and being like, oh, yeah, it's nice talking to you, by the way. Hate the band. I don't. Actually, that's.
So I think that'd be a laugh.
Their gig,
yeah.
Yeah. for sure.
It's quite a good lineup. Like, it's a classic like banquet, getting loads of people because they happen to be around, sort of decent. I left it to chance. I never should have let this get so far. I am, but I'll do anything to not be alone. Because when I'm alone, you know, I can easily fall back into old habits that I thought I'd left behind. They let me apart and I realize I'll be alone. I have to lie.
So inside sources have told us from TV Capital.
Not quite. Oh. There's more. It's on All Press.
Is that the logo?
Yeah, it's bad, isn't it?
Is it an American thing?
It's an American thing, right? So it's called Headliners, and it's set in 2003, and it's like this kind of pop punk inspired TV show that's all about.
Well, I've been screaming for this for years.
it's based
since
around
space became shit. I said we need a TV show.
Okay, well you're getting it. They're crowdfunding it at the moment.
Oh, so it might not actually happen.
Well, I don't get. It seems pretty solidly that it's going on.
It hasn't been commissioned by NBC.
They've got a logo.
They've got a logo. I mean, that's number one for Kickstarter.
Yeah. I mean, they've got Kickstarter. They've like confirmed bands that are going to be like involved in it.
Tell us some of the bands.
So, I think involved in like the original music, there's like members from like Yellow Card, The Rocket Summer, Forever the Sickest Kids, State Champs, and Word Alive.
Mm. Americans are so nice, aren't they?
They are nice when they want to be. So yeah, it's weird. It's going to be set around like an indie record label and a struggling band. And that's kind of the theme of it. It doesn't really say like...
Headliners seems a weird name then if they're struggling. But
yeah, you would have thought so.
We haven't seen the last episode.
Do you reckon they sort of like headline battle of the bands or something?
You know what would be really good? If there was like just a load of really like poor gigs and they're like on first, they're on first. And then like nothing really happens. They release an EP, a couple of people buy it. And then the last thing, I was like, oh, by the way, guys, you've got 50 people coming to see you tonight, so you're a headline. And that's it.
That's it. That's just the curtain closes on that.
It's like, oh, we made it.
That'd be cool. I'm kind of hoping this is like quite comedic. Yeah. I kind of want it to be a bit like...
It better be, otherwise.
Yeah. I kind of want it to be like Silicon Valley, but of like of pop punk bands.
Yeah, we discussed this before. That would be amazing.
Yeah. For
a start. There's a better show there in being a comedy emo band than there is a serious trying to make it.
Well, there's that other show that started recently, like Vinyl. It's like set in the.
That's a little bit different.
Yeah, though. But I've not seen it, but I've heard it got really beefed up, and then it's meant to be really shit.
Well, the first one was Scorsese directed it, and Mick Jagger's involved.
Yeah,
but yeah, I think Scorsese only did the first one.
Okay,
but I've heard it's pretty good. I haven't actually watched it yet.
Sounds like it'd be a different feel from Silicon Valley.
Yeah, I mean, it's set in, it's like rock bands in
the city. Yeah. Sorry, no, it's not the same thing at all.
So yeah, that's that. I'm apprehensive for it, let's put it that way.
I'm definitely interested.
Yeah.
But it might not happen, so.
Yeah.
Well,
do you reckon it's as good as Ed Sheeran being in that summer, what was it called, Britain Something High?
There was an
English version of... High School Musical.
Okay. And what did you think it was called?
I was going to say Summer Heights High, but that's a different thing. But anyway, Ed Sheeran was in that before he became Ed Sheeran. So it could be as good as that was. Not that I saw that, but...
I just want to see that now.
I'm sure it's on the interweb somewhere.
Yeah.
Probably. Oh, Britannia High.
That's the one. That's kind of there.
I've seen bits of this.
That's kind of there.
Do they like... They break into like... Like actual songs, didn't they?
If it's like High School Musical, then
But it's not original music, is it? Because I'm pretty sure. I've seen them do like all the small things.
Yeah, well, that's where I was going.
That's something different.
Is that something else?
Yeah, if you're thinking of what I'm thinking of,
yeah.
And like there's a choir singing it.
Something like that, weird.
BBC Three. I know what you mean.
It's like BBC
it was
Three or something.
It was about some autistic kid who was obsessed with Blink or something. It was really
I didn't
surreal.
Get into that much.
Yeah. That could be you.
Which one?
I'm hoping he's talking about you.
I was talking about you.
I looked in the corner. So.
Not looking at me, so I'm feeling fine.
Yeah, you're quite all right.
No, it wasn't you, dude.
Cool. Yeah, there's going to be 6 1-hour episodes.
Oh, that's long. No.
Well, I think when they say hour episodes, it might be like 45 minutes.
Do you want it to be really good, though, if they're like promoting their shit on MySpace and they really like dig deep into
just MySpace promotion.
And then they're like doing their burning CDs till like 4 in the morning on one like computer.
Yeah, with like that'd be cool. Like one of those CD presses for labels and stuff.
I'm going to do my own, release it before they come out.
Yeah, do the UK. What would you call yours?
Shit.
Support,
main support,
main support. Yeah.
I don't know. Supporters with a Z at the end.
Muncie Girls.
How'd you say it?
Muncie. I think it's Muncie.
Muncie.
Mike. G.
Mike. Mike knows
so
how
I've
to
always
say
been
it.
Muncie, but then there's also people like Munchie. I don't know.
I went there earlier. Muncie.
You went Muncie.
I say Muncie, but it's from a film that I can't think of right now.
Okay. Well, if anyone knows, tweet us.
That'd be a fun one to tweet, unless they do like a video.
Yeah.
Or like you could do those dictionary like things, but I don't really understand how those work with like, all the little accents and stuff.
Oh right, yeah.
And then this is how you pronounce things.
I do that a lot, like how to pronounce people's names, like for other country people, you know, Spanish people's names and stuff. Because I don't know how to talk anyway. So
okay, well, whatever it is, Muncie or Muncie Girls finally released their debut album last Friday to much fanfare.
They've got a bit of hype, right?
They have got a bit of hype, yeah. From Kaplan to Belsize. They recorded this over a year ago, and it's taken them a lot of build-up.
Why was that? Is it
I don't know. I think it was just the release schedule they put it on. Now. But they've had like a lot of, like I say, a little build-up to it. I think they've done, like, is it 4 videos they released prior to, like, over the last sort of 4 months, maybe?
I can think of at least 3, but yeah.
Yeah,
maybe.
I can think of...
There might be one you didn't see.
Yeah, possibly. I only watched 2 of them, to be fair, but I'm kind of aware of more.
Yeah. So, what do we all think? Chris, let's start with you.
It's all right. It's all right. I don't quite get the hype around it. It's had some really, really good reviews out there already. I don't know, yeah. Gave it a few listens. There were like maybe 2 or 3 songs that jumped out to me. I think one was called I Don't Want to Talk About It, which is towards the end of the album.
Yeah. I like that one.
That was a really cool song. Maybe I need a bit more time with it. Maybe the songs that seemed a bit more sort of flat to me will grow on me a little bit. But it's all right.
Did you know the band before this album?
Yeah, I remember... my brother introducing them to me like about 3 or 4 years ago, because he was really into them. And
really?
Yeah. And there was this one song, and he was like, oh, yeah, it's a bit sort of like pop punk for, these are his words, it's a bit pop punk for my taste. I think you're really going to like it, Chris. And he played it, and I just thought it was a bit. I do think this newer stuff's a lot stronger than everything I've heard before.
Okay. Fair enough. What were you, Darren?
So I was aware of them before and knew of the hype. The album didn't blow me away, but there's some brilliant songs on there for sure.
Would you say it's a nice collection of songs?
You know what? If someone was to ask me what I thought about that, like, I'd say it's a nice collection of songs. But nothing really... I wasn't singing anything... after it, like I listened to it all and I wasn't singing any of the songs back in my head.
Do you think you're a bit like me in that maybe it needs a few more listens? Like, do you think like it's as good as it's going to get for
I'm
you,
not like
basically?
You at all.
ever.
I know you're not as cool as me. I appreciate the fact that you're honest with yourself.
Don't ever get that twisted. Nah, I don't think so, because I listen to it a lot, and I listen to it maybe 4 or 5 times now.
Yeah.
And there are some brilliant songs in there, some really great lyrics. Some that, what's the girl's, the singer's name?
Landy.
Yeah, there's some awesome lyrics in there, like really, really, really heartfelt. And I appreciate that.
I think she's a great lyricist.
Yeah. But some of it, there's a few songs in there just passed me by, just didn't really grab.
There's not that one kind of like banger, is there?
No, but I've listened to a lot of their other stuff on Spotify, and you know, and there are some songs there.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like the older EPs, I think, stand out a little bit more for me.
Yeah, for sure.
Than this album as a whole does. I'm just looking through my iTunes. I mean, now like Car Crash and Sleepless, for example, jump out to me as songs I remember.
Yeah. But they did a thing with Great Cynics.
They've done a split with Great Cynics, yeah.
And there's a couple of songs on there that I think are brilliant.
There's 3 tracks on that.
What did you think of the production on this one?
Well, I'm not Phil Spector or Mark Ronson, but the last one was a joke. I thought her vocals a bit quiet, and that sort of, I was like struggling a little bit, because I thought maybe some of the choruses could have been made bigger from production values, but I struggle with the voice memos on iPhone, so who am I to comment?
I really like, speaking of production, is on the first track, Learning School, there's...
Sorry to interject. Is that the right one?
Yeah, that is the right one, yeah.
Interject. The bit where there's a girl talking, like a bit of a speech.
Yeah.
In respect, isn't it?
Yeah. I think it's in respect, yeah.
Couldn't hear it enough.
No. It gets lost in the mix, doesn't it?
Yeah. I never know with bits like that.
If it's intentional.
Are you using it message-wise or sonically?
Is it meant to be just some talking that you're not meant to hear, or...
You can get you can get like a fair whack of it. I don't know whether it's the kind of thing that if you listen carefully after a bit, you know more of it. I really liked it, actually, because I mean, I've been listening to them for a while. So like I think the first EP was like, I remember having it and just like hammering it.
Revolution like 5 or 6 Summer times, 2012.
Just like it was that good at the time. It still is very good.
Do you know these guys at all?
We've played with them a few times.
Yeah,
like see Dean and that about. But I really like the album. Like I think I'm a bit, I don't know, I feel a bit
crowded.
Minority. I think listened to it and then went back, straight back and was like, this is kind of that sort of thing where it's like a few instant, maybe not hits, but a few that I was like, I'm liking you few, and then sort of getting into the whole thing as a whole a bit more.
Yeah, I mean, there's not one track on there that is like that really lets it down. Like they are all really good songs. I think it is a really really good album. I think it's just not possibly quite as good as we.
I didn't
expecting.
Get the Hidden Scar track at the end.
That joke fell flat.
Yeah, quite rightly so as well.
Bit mean.
I feel guilty now.
Yeah.
Is that joke or scar? I mean, it's hard to say.
So,
out of 7, what are you giving it?
Out of 7. You and 7. Pick
it's
another number.
No, I like
it's a
that.
Great number.
Out of 12.
You're going to give it 12
out of
7?
You're going to give it
12 out of 7? No, out of
12. out of 12.
It gives you a bit of leeway to...
Well, 12 out of 10.
Bigger ceiling, yeah.
Survivor is lyric.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's a good lyric.
12 out of 10 out of 10 and back again.
Did you write it?
No, Vince did.
That's really matter then, though.
If we do out of 7, I'd give it a, like 6.5.
Oh, that's a good score.
That's
appetite
for destruction type level.
Like,
that
actually,
is.
Do you want to like tell us a bit more what you think about it? I feel.
I really like the band. I think they're great. Yeah. I've been probably as long as Mike has been listening to them. Yeah. I have. Like, I remember playing with them at South Sea in 2012. I think it was like when they sort of
very early on, I guess.
Very like, early on, yeah. And I've just always kind of followed them, like as an EP's come up, like going, really like it. And I think this more or less lives up to expectations. It's just there's not that sort of like one like hit single, as it were. I think there's just something missing. And like I say, just something slightly in the production where, like, if the vocals were a little bit louder, or if they just the way they mastered choruses, that might make them jump out a little bit more.
I find that helps.
So that's me. I think it's really cool. I like.
Do you think? Because I've not seen them live. Do you think seeing them live?
I've not seen them live in a long time, to be fair, so I can't really.
Saw them last night.
Oh shit!
Yeah, it was a release show. It was cool.
Where was this?
Was that the with Apologies? Was it
the Lexington?
Lexington.
Yeah, Apologies, Iona.
I was going to buy tickets, and then we had rehearsal.
Yeah.
Was that what we did last
night? Yeah, it was pretty good actually. It was full of lovely, lovely people and lovely times.
Decent.
So how was it? How was the show?
Yeah, it was really good. Yeah, I was quite tired, so by the end of it, I was just like, ooh. But they were really good, like, as they always normally are. And, like, people seem to be quite into it.
Yeah.
That's the first show on the tour, isn't it?
Yeah, I think they're doing a few, aren't they? They're doing, like, Brighton,
and then they're, like, back in London for the end of the tour, I think.
Probably, I guess. I don't know, I haven't looked that far ahead. It's just like, yeah, I'll go once and then...
Quinn's very good at looking at posters, not seeing dates, but looking at pictures.
There's definitely Brighton...
Yeah,
there's Exeter.
Doe's doing the
point.
Brighton show. I know that.
Oh.
Doe with Nicola we had on the podcast. Shout out.
Many callbacks.
Shout out to Nicola. They are doing. Sticky Mike's on the 11th in Brighton. They're doing Exeter on the 10th.
But this is irrelevant because this is a London-based podcast.
Oh,
people travel.
You.
I've been to Sticky Mike's on more than one occasion.
But this podcast doesn't go outside of London. Like, we paid a lot of money just to be restricted.
There we go. They're doing the Garage on the 7th of April.
Okay,
Is that with anyone? Or, well, I guess it is because it's Ship. It's just one band on a bill. But
they're headlining the Garage.
It's Tellison and Muncie Girls.
Tellison
and then
it might be upstairs at the Garage
and
as well.
Tom Forbes. Don't know. This doesn't say. Club capacity 630. That must be downstairs, if that's what he's saying on here.
Yeah, sounds right.
Mama and Alco Pop are putting it on. So yeah,
sweet,
awesome. What would you give it then out of 7?
Well, Appetite for Destruction got 6.5 for me.
But can you really compare the two, because they're very different genres of music?
Appetite for Destruction and no, that was a joke, man. Appetite for Destruction gets 10 out of 7.
12 out of 10.
Yeah,
out of town and back again.
Almost the same.
Yeah,
similar fraction. Yeah,
I'd give it a 4.8.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
What about you?
Just like you say, for me, there was no big choruses and big like huge. It maybe didn't speak to me so much, but totally decent and very well done. But just nothing blew me away.
Fair enough.
Yeah, it's fair enough. 3.7.
God, you're so mean.
Well,
isn't
he? No,
it's better than average.
Better than at least he's honest.
Just average.
0.2%. That's and you, I'm assuming you give it a 7.
I'm always like really reluctant to give stuff like top marks just because
they need room for improvement.
It makes me feel like a teacher saying like, oh, you've got to have room for improvement, you know. I'd probably go for like 6.75.
wow,
maybe.
Wow.
Okay. I feel like I like it more than you did,
a bit more than me.
I mean, I don't want to say, but yeah, I thought it was, you know, as I say, there's like,
this is a totally irrelevant way of measuring things anyway, and I'm sure the bands don't give a shit.
if they're listening, you know, I love them all the same, but I'm sure they're like, maybe they will.
What was it Burnt Tapes kept saying? Keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
What about something like that? Genuinely, lovely. Lots of nice songs.
Yeah,
but,
for sure. No, yeah.
What's your favourite song on the album?
Oh, this is where it's going to... I really like Guess What For. And there's another one early on that I'd almost prepped in my head. I was like, oh yeah, like my three favourites, like Respect, Gas Mark 4, and one that's completely left my head. It's one about like hiding under the table when you're drunk too much.
Oh yeah, I know the one you mean.
It's second or something.
Gone with the Wind?
Yeah, Gone with the Wind. Gone with the Wind. I was like, oh, cool. Yeah, another literary reference.
Is that a thing?
No, I think it was... I assume it was more metaphorical than literal, but it's a sensible... Not sensible, but, you know, it's a relatable...
For sure.
...thing of, like, ugh, everyone.
I like the lyrics about being 13 and losing all your friends at school and stuff. That was a really good lyric.
Was that... I don't want to talk about it, that one.
I think so.
Yeah. It's later on.
Yeah, I quite like that.
That's relatable.
Yeah, that does... Yeah, I think everyone can take something away from that. I really like... That's the one with the lyric about starting a band with my brother if he didn't live so far away, innit? Yeah, that's really cool. Cool. Well, that's Mincy Girls. The Lippies from Grand Rapids in Michigan.
We spoke about these guys.
We did speak about them a couple of weeks ago because I wanted to pick them up. And now they've got an album out. Came out last Friday as well.
On Red Scare.
On Red Scare, yeah. Which Sam was talking to us about a couple of weeks ago as well.
Because he's on...
Because he's on Red Scare as well, yeah. So this is the follow-up to their 2014 EP. But this is their first full length. I don't think they've titled either the EP or the album. It just says The Lippies.
Doing this.
So it's either lazy? Untitled or self-titled. Maybe they're just not very creative in...
Yeah, is there a thing that if you don't title it, is it automatically self-titled? I mean, iTunes probably does that.
But, iTunes automatically self-titles it, I think. I thought you might have to submit it self-titled, but... I don't know. I don't think it matters, does it? It's just an album.
It does matter.
Does it?
Mm.
Actually, this is going to be difficult, because if you want to look up this album or the EP...
If I'd gone to the effort of fucking writing an album and couldn't think of a fucking title for it, like...
Just pick a... Do what Baroness did, just pick a colour.
Mm.
Yeah. I feel like they're going to run out.
Anything, man.
Anyway,
Quinn's Hat could have been called.
Anyway, Quinn, what did you think of this album?
Oh, fucking love it.
Oh, right, yeah. Okay.
Do you really, really, really like it?
I really like this band. Ever since I got into them about 2 months ago, I can't get enough of them. I think they're awesome. I just love everything about them. I love the style of music. I love what they're singing about.
Oh, I hate that crying, man.
So
I've got tissue.
But why don't you tell me what you think about it, Darren?
What do I think? I think it's pretty good. Certainly not raving on like yourself is. Obviously, I don't think they're doing anything groundbreaking at all, but I don't think they are that type of band, and no. Some bands aren't meant to do that. But they're very good at what they do. Some good choruses and stuff. Didn't really speak to me. It isn't my kind of thing totally, but it's very good for what it is. If that sounds a bit patronising, it wasn't meant to. but yeah, like, that ain't my... It isn't... You know, I need a bit more... I don't know, fucking haircuts or some shit. but yeah, I dug it. It was okay.
Cool.
Do you want a rating now? Or?
I reckon wait till the end.
Yeah.
Save them up.
Yeah. Calm down. I know you love your ratings.
Yeah. You and your 7 out of...
No, it's going to be stars next.
It's going to be stars. Okay. Cool. Well, you enjoyed it at least.
I definitely enjoyed it. I listened to it today twice and I definitely enjoyed it.
Awesome.
I think I'm somewhere in between you guys.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm possibly closer to Darren. I don't, you know, like, because you were very enthusiastic over there.
So enthusiastic.
Yeah, no, I did like it. I did enjoy it. First two songs, really good. I can't remember the names or numbers of the other songs I particularly enjoyed. There were like maybe two or three songs that I really didn't think hated. Were very good at all. Well, closer okay. to hated than loved. Yeah.
So what were they? The acoustic still ones.
I don't know.
Yeah, there's the. Did you listen?
I'm always a bit iffy about
ukulele.
Ukuleles and acoustic songs like injected into albums. It's a hard thing to do, and it sounds a bit.
It does seem
odd. Flows and stuff.
It does seem odd that they've chosen to do that, but what I...
No, it doesn't. Why is it odd? It's like the most go-to thing to do.
What, just do
it? You just stick it at the... If you want to do it, stick it at the end and it's, you know... It's a closer, but I guess maybe it's got too much of a thing. But
yeah.
I don't know. I
don't think you can expect... Like, these guys aren't breaking boundaries. I don't know. They're not pop punk. They are pop punk. But they're a different sense to whatever.
Yeah.
But I'm just cutting you off now. yeah, there is what it is for me, and it's good, but it's no Vanilla Pod.
I really like how they...
2001 again.
They're still going, bro.
They are still going. I really like how the acoustic songs like really showcase her voice. Like, I think that's where it comes through strongest is when it's just her with her ukulele.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah.
And she's got such a strong voice. I really like the way she just manages to like belt out lyrics and carry tune.
She reminded me of Beverly Kills, who are a Cambridge band.
Don't know them.
They're an all-girl punk band. They're pretty cool.
That's cool. What are you, Mike?
I liked it. I wouldn't... Yeah, definitely didn't love it. But, it's one of those ones, like, I can't really remember many of the songs. Like,
yeah.
I listened to it a few times and went, yeah, it's good. Actually, after saying the whole, like, oh, the acoustic ones, I think the ukulele, is it Boil or something?
It Boils, and then and Basic Boy as well.
Yeah, I think It Boils is, like, the only one that I've, like... since listening that I could like easily identify and
really?
Actually quite liked but
okay.
Yeah, maybe just somewhere else, but I liked what it was doing. It like felt a bit bouncing soulsy in places as well, which
that's cool.
Never too much of a bad thing, but
no, definitely not.
Yeah, maybe I'd give it another go, but
yeah. I really like how because there's three tracks in this album that are from that EP effectively. They've re-recorded them. 302, Hot Air Balloon, and Beat Into Me. And I really like hearing that kind of evolution of the songs in like where they've had sort of more resources to record, like how they've like just injected in back like backing vocals and like extra guitar tracks and stuff, and how those sort of, you just hear those songs sort of come to life a little bit more compared to what they originally were on the EP.
Yeah, do you think that's just a producer thing?
That is a producer, yeah, it's a producer thing, but it's just, it's cool hearing, it's effectively the same song but with a little bit more life.
And does it make it 1,000 times better?
It doesn't make it hugely better. I can forgive them for doing three tracks from that EP on the album because of that.
Because that happens. Like,
yeah.
Like, I'm either going to get told off or complimented here. But like, Fall Out Boy's very first, like, whatever they released was... shocking, it was terrible, and I never heard it. But then, what's the Take It to Your Grave? I think it is the blue cover.
Yeah.
That was virtually, it's the same band a couple of years on, and someone heard something in that band and they just got a good producer, just turned them into something fucking brilliant.
Songs decent,
yeah.
Stuff.
Like, yeah. I don't give a shit about them now, but that first, second album or whatever,
yeah,
it's fucking brilliant. So, someone heard something great in that,
And has worked with it,
yeah. So I'm just wondering if that's Lippy's a similar sort of thing.
I mean, I don't think it's that at all. Like, there's nothing intrinsically like changed or different about the songs. It's just they've got more time to record like extra guitar tracks,
debugging
vocals and that kind of stuff.
We've got an extra track here.
Yeah. what didn't work for me is that. I mean, obviously, for anyone that's heard it, like. They're a feminist pop punk band, and most of the lyrics are of that persuasion. Like, she's singing about like feminist topics. 302 isn't like a political song at all. It's about meeting a guy, going out, getting drunk, and like having a laugh and all that kind of shit. But they crowbar in like this whole like personal is political like soundbite thing into like the middle eight of the song,
which, a little rant.
Yeah, because like on the EP, what she does there, like, it's just her talking in the studio about what she, trying to figure out what she should do, like rattling off like states of the United, like the US, like names of the US states and stuff like that. And that's really cool. It's quite sort of funny and quirky. And here it's like, oh, we need to actually put something in. It's like, well, let's do a personal, it's political message. It's like, fine, that's an important message, but I think it's in the wrong song.
I don't remember that bit, man.
Oh, it's, but it's there.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if militant's the right word, but anything militant I sort of give up on.
No, I wouldn't say it's militant.
Well, I said the wrong word then.
It's just...
Do you know what I mean? Like, for think, sticking something in for some, like, trying to have an agenda when it may be not needed.
Well, it's just that song. I don't think anywhere else in the album it would have worked fine, I think. Just but not, it was just in, not in that song.
Okay, I don't know.
But maybe it was to try and tie it in with the rest of the album.
Possibly. Well, no, I mean, not every song on there is particularly feminist. I mean, there's that, like, Fuck the Customer, for example, just straight up having had a shitty retail job, singing about that sort of shit.
I thought there was... I thought that one was like a stream and it was something to do with the porn industry or something. I think. I'm not
really
sure. Yeah, I think I saw there was like a tweet from Red Scare and they were like up to... I may be entirely wrong, in which case it's wrong.
I mean that...
But I think it was more that kind of like it's not the people involved with... It's not the actors are like...
Yeah,
at fault there. It's like
that actually makes sense because the lyrics are the problem isn't the product, it's the consumer.
Yeah, it's like these people.
That makes sense.
Fairly, it does. I think it's that kind
for
of
that
like,
argument that they're making.
You know, if people are content with the living that they're making, kind of thing.
Yeah,
then you shouldn't be judging them. You're buying it.
That's an interesting fact. Thank you for bringing that with you, Mike.
I hope it's right.
Yeah.
Yes,
it's a very good spin off it. If it's not.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've just made it all up. But,
yeah.
Alright.
Can't believe you didn't know that. About having your love so much.
Well, I've not been
and
on.
You love porn as well, so.
I thought
them two would get together.
Well, I discovered this band on YouPorn.
YouPorn.
Yeah.
Decent.
Alright, should do scores.
Yeah. I mean, unless anyone else got anything else to say.
Let's not do scores. Let's just. No. It is what it is.
It is what it is.
Alright.
I mean, yeah.
Quinn loves it. Chris, bit indifferent. Mike?
Yeah. I'd probably listen to it again, but I don't think I'd like hurry.
Sure. And me, I'm kind of with that guy.
With Mike?
Yeah.
Fair enough. Well, hopefully they'll be over in the UK soon, because when I emailed them. Thanks, actually, by the way, guys, for sending me a copy of the album to review, even though we've not done it in time for
we've
the release.
We've burned so many copies.
Yeah, thanks, Dan.
Yeah.
Sales have plummeted, but...
We've got lots of extra pounds.
I was hoping to have this out in time for the release, but we had to reschedule the recording of the episode, so now it's coming out a week after. But Cole told me that they'll be they're looking at coming over at some point, so I'm looking forward to that.
So, a pacer BFFs with Iron Sheik, have I made that up?
There was a split like back in the...
2011.
Wow, that's... yeah, it was pre-me.
Pre-you.
Which was 2000
You 2012, weren't you? I seem to remember.
I guess so, something like that.
Yeah, it was, because I think one of your first shows was that... was it the Miller in London Bridge?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
And that was where we met Adrian.
So Dave fell over.
Yeah. Luke Godwin played that.
Does it not happen much?
properly. Yeah, it's good. Surprisingly, happens very little, but okay. Yeah,
memorable, kind of like, memorable yeah. enough.
It's quite fun. Luke played
that show as well. That was where Rivalries we met Adrian for the first time, who ended up producing the EP.
Okay.
He came to see us there, so that's why I remember it, because that was the first meeting we had to actually get our fucking EP recorded. Anyway, sorry. Back to Mike.
Do you know the story of the split? Because I'm a big Iron Cheek fan.
I know. I know it was on.
Emails were exchanged.
Oh, God, who did the? Was it? Yeah, some it was a UK thing. There was like a whole series of splits, and I can't think who did them.
Okay.
And I was kind of hoping that Quinn would be like typing. Really I am fast looking or something.
That's cool.
I'm on All in Vinyl, I think. Didn't they do the splits? Something like that, but
everything sucks. Maybe.
No.
So that's just in your sidebar on Bandcamp.
Yep. No, I think it was All in Vinyl did like a whole series of splits of UK and US bands. I know there was like Arteries and The Arrivals.
Sure.
I
guess it's hard to talk about it when you weren't in the band.
Yeah, I don't really know what happened. I never really asked.
Sweet.
Maybe I should find out more history.
But you've done more than that with Iron Cheek though, right? You've supported them before.
Yeah, there was. I think they did a tour like after the split came out, and I think it was kind of a, oh hey, we've done a split.
This is a tour. Thing.
Or okay. They were over, and it was like, hey, you guys did a split. You should totally do some shows.
Cool.
And I think they did some shows. But yeah, I'm quite excited for this one in May because it'll be the first time that I'll have played with them.
Yeah, man, I've got tickets
with
for
Iron Cheek. Should be quite exciting.
Yes, I'm very excited.
That's the DIY space for London.
DIY.
So when did you join Pacer? 2012, was it?
12? Apparently it was 2012. Yeah, I think.
Okay.
Must have been.
What were you doing before Pacer? How did it come about?
So at the time, what was I doing? I was in Home Advantage as well.
Oh, okay. I didn't know Home Advantage. So Home Advantage was before Pacer?
Yeah. So Home Advantage
before? Because I know Home Advantage like really started playing gigs like early 2012.
Yeah.
I remember famously Messed was the first Home Advantage show.
I think Messed was the first one we did.
Yeah.
Which is
How was that? Weird. How are they?
It was quite weird.
Yeah. Were you a fan of Messed?
I think I only knew the one song, and that was only because
I know that one.
Used to sing it quite a lot, and I can't remember what it was. Does it sound about a Cadillac?
I mean, like everything you said there sounds right. When you said, did you say Alex Mills used to sing it a lot?
Used to sing it a lot, and I was like, okay, this is how I know Messed.
You're right. They had a song called Cadillac.
Yeah. Oh, which I think I've now got in my head. Oh, great.
So where was that show? How did you get that for your first gig?
That was at the
Rhythm Factory.
Rhythm Factory, yeah.
Okay.
Which is like Whitechapel, isn't it?
Yeah, it's one of Adrian's shows.
Yeah, basically Adrian was putting it on, and I think at the time Mills was like doing DJing for
Yeah.
Kind of just fell into various interesting things for that.
Sure.
Okay, so presumably Home Advantage is a band that did that start sort of late 2011, early 2012, or was it?
Yeah, let's say it was probably that. Yeah, it was probably, maybe it was even like mid 2011. I can't remember because it kind of came on the back of like, or very slowly on the back of like another band breaking up that me and Mills were in.
So you're in the band with Mills before. Was that Keeping Score?
Keeping Scores.
Sorry.
So
are you London born and raised?
Yeah.
Oh,
oh nice.
Yeah.
And we're like, we're always
home and back to the start.
According to Facebook,
so I was going to say, according to Facebook, Home Advantage were founded in December 2011.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we were probably doing shit before then, but that took us a long time to do that.
So what's the story, man? Where did it start? What was the first song?
Darren wants to take it right back.
What, the first song you'd watch?
No, first man. Like, what was the first song that got you into music?
I used to be like quite a bit of a Britpop kid, I guess.
Britpop
back,
kid?
Like in the teens. It was one of those things my brother listened to loads of it. So I
Are we talking like the cool stuff? Oasis.
Yeah. Oh, I was going to say if like Blur, the Blue Tones, and like past and stuff.
Of course, cool. Now I don't think that's the cool stuff, but.
Okay. Well, it depends. I've slowly got into Oasis. I've kind of got over that whole, like, I can only like one or the other.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Now and then sort of just drifted off to Heard Green Day at one point on the radio. I was like, this is quite... But I was a bit of a late bloomer. I must have been like 15, 16, I guess, at the point. It was like when Warning came out.
Okay, cool.
Before I kind of
went to
anything.
That's my Green Day album.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, it's probably still top three Green Day. I mean, actually, can you say top three Green Day albums? Because there's not...
Well, for me...
There's not that many good ones. Well, there are, but...
Yeah, no,
it's... There's like five or six decent ones, so when you go into the top three, it feels like just kind of breaking down a...
Yeah, for sure.
Poor thing.
It's Dookie and Warning for me, that's...
Yeah, I think Insomniac over Dookie, but... Yeah. Then kind of just drifted into being a ska kid, which was...
Okay.
So
I appreciate that.
Had you been playing guitar before that, or was that where you kind of like, now I want to pick up a guitar, now I've heard Green Day?
Yeah, listen to Green Day and... I think it was Green Day and then like drifted to Les and Jake and like listening to both. I was like, oh, bass sounds really cool. Just kind of started playing. But mostly just... I mean, I'd probably just been arsing around in my room for about 4 or 5 years before actually playing.
You self-taught or?
Yeah, just playing along to... I think if you play along to Green Day, it's kind of... Yeah.
You're doing, it works. Yeah, it works, yeah. That's sort of punk
probably
basics.
Shows a lot in what I do, but yeah.
So what point did you first get yourself in the band? Or
I think Keeping Scores was... Well, Keeping Scores was the first
thing. Was this like a hardcore?
It was a bit of a weird one. Yeah. I kind of... It was back in like the heady days of Punktastic forums.
Yeah.
So like I'd seen a thing and someone was like, oh yeah, we want a bassist. I was like, yeah, cool, fine. And at the time, Ash, who was the singer, was like, yeah, it's gonna be like Hot Water Music, Latin. And I was like, oh sweet, awesome.
Yeah, cool.
And then within like two practices, all of a sudden it was like, oh, let's go melodic hardcore. I was like,
from first to last or something.
I was like, shit, I've never... So like all of a sudden at this point, I'm just
drop
like,
D.
Oh, okay, I better listen to like Kid Dynamite and all this stuff that I'd not heard. Yeah, and it did eventually, I think. I don't think we went... No, we did go to Drop D quite...
I think
six
everyone
or seven
did
months.
2008
it was a bit,
or something.
It was a bit weird. Mm. I can't remember a lot of the songs that we did at that point, but...
That's cool.
Yeah, it was quite fun.
Who are some of your favourite bass players in the punk scene?
Oh,
Are you not that?
I think I've probably got a few. I mean, I guess like Mike from Green Day is probably like still quite up there. And
definitely.
See, I'm just going to mention Green Day and Les and Jake because like
there you go.
Yeah, I think they were the two like go-to kind of things.
Well, Les and Jake it's melodic, right?
Yeah, it's just very kind of.
And there's the riffs, they're bass riffs as well.
Being very sort of almost guitar-y bass.
Yeah, for sure.
Stuff.
I appreciate that.
But yeah,
what led you to doing the Limited Means with Vince?
I knew Vince, so yeah, that was like at various points. I always seem to have been in like two bands.
Is this Vince who you played in the band?
It was Vince who I was in Rivalries with before Rivalries. He did Limited Means with. Okay. With Mike, it was just a duo acoustic.
Yeah, because he'd done it as like a... They were a three piece, and they did a tour, and then I think did a tour, and then not long after that, kind of everyone else just left. I don't know.
Mm.
Well, I think it just kind of everyone parted company.
Yeah,
I don't want to say that like Vince was just a horrendous person. Like, week with
That's probably true.
It's quite plausible. I love him really, but I think it was kind of a... Yeah, it was quite a while after that happened, I think, and he just kind of wanted to get about and jam some stuff.
Yeah.
Because I knew him anyway, and just like, yeah, let's do some stuff.
Where is this in the timeline? So is this before the...
So it's about 2009, 2010.
So it's whilst...
Is this alongside Keeping Scores?
Alongside Keeping Scores. I've got a feeling that it kind of... It may have drifted into a bit of Homer Einstein. But yeah, it was like 2009, 2010, I think.
Okay.
And it was one of those things that like... We toyed with getting a drummer. It was like, oh, let's do a two-piece. We kind of had a drummer that we jammed with a couple of times, and it just never really worked out. And it was just... It's an awful lot easier to try and sort out two people than it is to sort out three, or as I now know, like five.
Of course.
And then if it's...
Till you get older as well, man.
Nightmarish.
if it is an acoustic project, to bring a drummer into an acoustic project is difficult.
Yeah,
it was, the drummer's got to be on their fucking shit.
Well, it's not so much that. It's, I'm sure you appreciate this, but like when you do acoustic-y stuff, or you're playing all the accents and you're playing you're playing half the rhythm on your guitar. Do you know what I mean? So
yeah, so you don't necessarily need the percussion as much.
It's more just to round it out rather than actually keeping.
Yeah.
No, it's I think we sort of tried to go a bit electric with it.
Okay.
Did you? Yeah. Did you not play electric bass? Well, I seem to remember you doing that.
Yeah, I did, because it turned out that acoustic basses
suck.
Quiet.
Yeah.
Because we used to do quite a bit with Torn Out.
Mm-hmm.
If anyone ever. Yeah. Because they're Essex boy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, and they sort of, they used an acoustic bass, but like never like unplugged, because you can't hear shit.
Okay.
I think if you were sitting right next to someone, you could maybe just about hear it.
Yeah, acoustic basses need to be plugged in.
Nice sound, but only if they're plugged in. Mm. It's a bit of a daft thing.
Right.
It's probably a tonal, it's probably some kind of like deep sonic resonance nonsense that goes
magical on. Wizardry shit.
Yeah.
Okay, so
you did Limited Means, and then that rolled into Home Advantage, which you did. Like,
yeah.
So you're doing more or less from about the same time. You're doing both Home Advantage and Pacer.
Yeah.
Ish. I mean, Home Advantage
earlier on than I thought I did. Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you joined Pacer in 2012, that was obviously like sort of during Home Advantage's real sort of active first year. Was that awkward? Like, just say I'm going to go and join another band who are quite well established at this point.
It was taken fine.
Were you nervous about that conversation before?
I was like, oh, so yeah, this has kind of happened. I was like, I've got this email about
Go on. How did that happen?
So I knew Pavey anyway, and randomly got a message at one stage, and he was just like, oh, hey, we're looking to kind of start things up again, send out the basis for. I was like, oh, do you want to come and try some stuff out? And yeah, went along to a Home Advantage practice, and I was like, oh my god, guys. Actually, I think it was a lot less like that. It was more just like, oh yeah, so
I'm gonna leave a note here.
Might go and give it a go. And they're like, yeah. It was fine.
But you've always managed to like juggle both bands.
Oh yeah,
very well, haven't you?
I am very good at being a tired man.
Right? Yeah.
It's
Because like there, you know, there was a period where Home Advantage did a lot, like in 2013.
Yeah.
So
well, there was at least
that's when to do them both for a while.
That's when Cadet came out.
Oh yeah, yeah, that was 2013.
It was your first EP,
first and last. Yeah. Well, I think there was like even two or three shows where we both played, which in hindsight,
not so good.
I probably should have learned after like the first. It's fine if you're. I've learned it's fine to play twice if you're at like fairly opposing ends of the bill, but if you're kind of one band in between the two, it's exhausting.
Yeah. Oh no, I've done three sets in one night before. That was a laugh.
Johnny Big Balls.
No, I'm just saying.
Did
like,
you get your belly
up? I wouldn't want to do that regularly.
No, but you bet you did.
No, I didn't that once.
Oh god, I got to play again in a minute.
Definitely three times.
Yeah. I prefer it for me anyway, because you've only got to set up once, and then you can do two sets, and then you can fuck off.
I think there was a time when I was using. You see, yeah, the worst part was I was using two basses as well for a lot of it. So
to carry two basses.
Two basses and a head.
And a head. You didn't just like think, fuck it, I'll DI.
Why two basses? Because just in case one goes.
Advantage was in drop C.
I'll get fucked.
Drop C. drop C sharp, I think.
Why?
Was that a Mills thing?
It was singing normal key. It was fine. It was quite interesting to get used to, but that's like an extra.
It would have been easier to.
Adds like a deeper quality to pop punk. Makes it sound less fancy, but it did make it quite annoying. Also, not long before we kind of ended it, I'd bought a new bass, got it kind of like completely restrung and like the nut carved out so it could take thicker strings. And then,
man.
And then like 3 months later, we were like, oh yeah, we're done.
Good luck trying to sell that on.
Yeah. Well, luckily I got it redone. I'm still playing it. But
oh, sorry. Oh, okay. Happy ending.
It was
ending,
a bit of a ball ache at the time, though. I was like,
what was it? Drop C?
Drop C. I think it was drop C sharp. I could probably end up getting corrected.
I don't buy into any of that.
So were you gutted when Home Advantage was no longer a thing, or were you a bit like, well, now I could
you know,
it was a bit
pacer,
of a,
you know,
it was
like,
a bit of a breather. I mean, it was like, you know, it was fun times. Like, I'm not gonna, I was enjoying it, but yeah, it was quite, although, yeah, it's quite nice to kind of go back to one.
Yeah, sure.
To focus. Saying that, it now kind of feels like, oh, man, maybe I should have another thing going on.
So, well, yeah, I was going to say, like, what are Pacer doing at the moment? Because there doesn't seem to have been much, apart from the Iron Sheik show you've got.
Well, yeah, we've been knocking around the odd practice. I don't think we've played since last
August, I think.
Summer. Yeah, we did this thing of ours fest at the Crickers.
Okay.
Yeah, like knocking some bits around. There's like a whole hardcore side project thing that's currently becoming more and more realised.
Okay. And that's the same.
Yeah, it's the same. It's just it's some
just bit, something bit different.
Yeah, it's more. It's not like super.
Shy-hooded.
It's not like super shouty. You know, Trapped Under Ice type stuff. It's what you'd expect from us, I guess. Kind of.
Well, I
threat diagnosty, but probably not even quite that far. Who knows?
Okay.
Recap, which is cleverly played on words there. So if anyone sits and thinks about that one,
give me an hour.
Come to you.
Yeah. we'll come back to Darren.
Yeah. Someone get it.
How much involvement? Because I think I remember you saying when Making Plans came out, I don't think you had sort of much involvement in writing that. Is that correct?
Yeah, that was quite exciting.
Just started.
It was literally a case of, hey, I think it was in the. I feel like it was like the February I joined or something. It was like early in the year.
Yeah.
And they were like, yeah, so we've pretty much written an album and we've booked a studio for the end of April.
But we need a slap.
Yeah. Here are some songs. Write some bass lines and learn them.
Oh, cool. Right. Yeah. That's nice.
Which was...
Did you find that daunting at all?
It was interesting. Yeah. It was a little bit... It was a bit of a weird thing to begin with anyway, because I'd like, you know, liked Pacer quite a lot to begin with.
Yeah,
realizing this goes out to the internet ether, I'm going to play down just how much. But oh god, that sounds even worse. yeah, no, it was a bit daunting going in anyway, because it's like, oh no, it's these guys. But yeah, it's quite a challenging way to try and learn songs.
With that, were they? So you turned up with your bass lines. Were they totally cool with everything, or they were like, stop playing in drop C minor?
sharp. No, it was pretty much, I was expecting a bit more like, I don't know what you're doing there. And in fact, there was times when I was like, come on, someone just say that this is complete bollocks. But no, it was fine. Yeah, it was just kind of, yeah, we like what? It was literally just rock up, play some stuff, and then, yeah.
That's cool, man. That's nice.
It's quite cool.
Because bass is one of my most important things in a band.
Bass?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I think it grounds the songs, doesn't it?
Yeah, that and the singer.
I feel like it makes or breaks the song, really, you know, if you've got... If you've got
a wicked, funky bass line.
Yeah, just like... I feel like that came across a lot more arrogant than it was.
So what about now, though? Because like, you done Mechanical in 2014. Like, how much involvement did you have in writing that? Like, you... sort of like,
I came up with a really ill-advised bass riff that kind of turned into a chorus.
Okay,
that's probably about as far as most of it went.
Fair enough.
Right.
Turns out if something's quite hard to play, don't then take it to a band in which you play quite fast anyway, because you just end up struggling.
Fingers will bleed.
Yeah. Well, do you know what? Speaking of which, you know, George Martin died today, didn't he?
The
Beatles guy.
Yeah.
There was a story of
Game of Thrones.
No.
oh god, no, he better not.
He's not.
But there was a thing about how I can't remember which thing it was, but there's a piano part he'd written for by the Beatles.
It's the harpsichord thing, isn't it?
And but the part he'd written was he couldn't play it fast enough for the song, so he dropped it down an octave, played it at half the speed, and then when he sped it up, it worked.
Yeah.
So he just played it back at double time. I mean, really clever.
In My Life. That's the little
Is it
one.
In My Life, yeah.
I like the Beatles, man.
So there you go, that's what you should have done.
Yeah, I kind of wish I had. It took quite a while.
You should have done it on tape.
Yeah. Yeah, damn this.
Should have got George
stuff.
Martin involved as your producer.
He'd have loved it.
Yeah.
I'm sure he'd have been well over that.
Mm. Beatles to Pacer.
Yeah, we've got many similarities. You know, we've got...
You're a band from England.
I can already read the quote. What is it?
George Martin was lucky to have the Beatles, and Pacer were lucky to have
George. You're a sick member. It'd be fine.
Oh dear.
So what's going on, man? What's going on for the next? Do you know? Is there any plans for more recordings?
Well, apart from like the hardcore side.
Yeah, I mean, there's hope of recap doing a bit of recording at some stage. But if anyone really feels like
investing some money,
well, or feels like offering shows to like an as yet unknown, hardcore band, then they really should.
Yeah, I think. Recap. It's an anagram of Pacer.
Yeah, there we go. It's not a very tricky one. It's backwards.
I would have got there probably.
Oh, it's just straight backwards. Yeah.
Yeah. Just straight up, flip it round. It's a word. Not many things that work that way, so it's quite.
I still don't get it.
It's quite result. But
Pacer as an entity aren't.
Oh, they're still around. Right, we're still doing. Doing stuff.
There's like a solo thing going on with.
John did Modern Capitals. Last year, like, did a whole album thing.
Okay.
On his own. And Dave is still, as far as I know, probably
selling his gear on
attempting
Twitter.
To do a thing. He might be. I don't know. It's hard to. He seems to have been. Yeah.
Whenever I see him tweet, it's normally just like selling an amp or a guitar or something.
Yeah, he does have a kind of tendency to buy and sell far too many amps. But it's fine. You know, everyone needs a hobby. But yeah, I think he's trying to sort of record some stuff. And it's completely lost me as to like his current performing name.
Okay.
I feel like a terrible person. But yeah, we're trying to. It's just like, you know, life gets a bit in the way.
Life gets in the way.
Yeah.
Baby's got a baby on the way next month. So.
I've got kids next month.
Not everyone. That's a lie.
Okay. There's quite a few people on it, but babies.
We know two.
I know a third.
Whoa.
Hang on. Two.
James. This guy's mate, Nick Altwork.
I don't give a shit about Nicole.
Well,
I'm sure she's a lovely person. I'm sure she's pregnant. There we go.
How sure are you?
You can't say anything nice, say a fact. Well, that's the other reason we're quite quiet at the moment.
You supported Lesson Jake, didn't you?
Yeah, we did. That was quite exciting. Did two shows.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
What was that?
Shepherd's Bush.
No. Was it? No, it was we did the garage.
Oh, it was the garage. Sorry.
And somewhere on the like
coast,
east coast. Yeah,
Brighton.
No,
that's south. He said the east coast.
I get confused.
Essex coasty place with a
south end. Oh, Chinneries.
I think it was south end. Yeah,
Chinneries at south end. There you go.
Yeah, probably.
It weren't great. Like that. It weren't great, Yarmouth.
No, it was. Yeah, that was pretty. That was pretty sweet. It was like a. I think it was in between Reading and Leeds kind of things.
Awesome. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Did you go up to him and go, you're the reason I play bass?
Not quite that far. I did get a picture with Roger on the tour bus.
Decent.
I think he was pretty baked at the time. But, you know, it's kind of...
Yeah, man.
It's just like the musical equivalent of those people that get, like, pictures with drug tigers and stuff. I just go up to famous bassists and I'm like, show type the picture there. Yeah. I think there's something in that for marketing. I think Dave had kind of had a bit of dealings with Vinny at some stage, because when he worked at Banquet, and he was just like, hey, you guys are a band.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's like us and Apologies playing with Lesson Jake. It's quite a,
that's a cool
nice mixed bill.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
I don't know who ever thought of putting Apologies and Lesson Jake together, but it worked.
Yeah, man, well. For sure. And this would have been a little while ago, so it would have been London.
Oh, yeah, it was like when Dan and PJ was still in it.
2013?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
I remember you being absolutely psyched about it at the time.
I was very excited. I think why maybe that was really man? Like...
Yeah.
Was it that summer that we did lots? Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I think you had a lot.
We did Heavy on. 1 year as well, but I can't remember if that was the same year as well. Yeah, we were like side stage guys.
Mm.
But that was quite cool. But Descendants...
Wow. Oh, cool, man.
That was weird.
Yeah.
Terrifying.
What were they like?
Yeah, quite nice. I think I just sat and chat. Well, sat and like listened to Carl. Because actually, yeah, there's like number three on the bassist people. He's quite cool. But just seems to know loads and loads of stuff.
Mm.
But then you're sort of just sitting there and like Bill Stevenson's opposite and he's a big, very grumpy looking man.
Mm.
I'm sure he's lovely, but he did look quite frightening.
People say that about me.
Just that drummer presence.
Not the frightening.
You sit opposite a drummer for long enough and then just look really intense and terrifying.
Yeah, you do that. You're fucking miserable. You're more miserable than me, and I'm really miserable.
What, you mean like at rehearsals and stuff?
No, just like life.
Oh. Oh. Yeah,
the selfie. Just being put down on all the time.
Selfies you send when you, me. Are you smiling?
Selfie Snapchats of just like, hey, got my hat on.
I don't Snapchat.
He doesn't Snapchat. Doesn't frequent that shit.
No,
not enough people do really.
I do. Send pictures to my brother.
There's a. I googled Chinneries in Southend just to make sure that was the right name of the venue. There's a band playing called Oase. And it's the same logo as Oasis.
Yeah, but there's a dash.
But then it says a tribute to Oasis, as if you didn't fucking know that.
There's a.
You've got to cater for all levels of intelligence when you're already cover band.
Also, India are playing there as well.
Oh, get fucked. Beans on Toast are playing there.
Beans on Toast, yeah.
They're okay.
Do you know them?
Beans on Toast?
Yeah.
Yeah, cool acoustic guy.
Well, there you go. Sky Speed. Anyway, that's enough of Chinneries.
Hang on, there's a few things to talk about on there. Go back. Was it Pure DC?
What are you looking at? Where?
On here.
Jewelers, I know. They're quite good.
Dread Zone. I've heard of them. Fell Out, as if there's a Fall Out Boy tribute band.
What's it? Is it Fell Out Boy?
It is. Yeah. Are you in that as well?
Fell Out Boy, yeah.
Fell Out of Boys. I mean, there's some terrible... There's not a good way of
Fall Out Boy pun. That's brilliant.
What, a Fall Out Boy tribute?
I supported a Green Day tribute, man.
There was a whole thing at the Underworld recently, or it might be coming up, where it's like all pop punk cover bands. Like, there's a Blink one, there's a Green Day one, there's like Fall Out Boy. Oh, there's all of that. There's like My Chemical Romance.
I want to be in the dressing room for that.
I don't. That'd just be... Can you imagine it? Like they've got to be a little bit full of themselves to do like a cover band like that.
Well, you've got to be.
I think they believe they're on hype sometimes.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Yeah. If you've got six or seven bands that are all on that hype thing,
yeah, that's what I mean.
I'd love to like go to backstage that. Backstage of the Brits, the car crash potential.
Yeah, exactly. Just be like, you lot of fucking morons. Like,
there's bound to be at least like four or five fights between lead singers and stuff. So I'm like, no, maybe. I need to.
I just think.
I'm going to look that up later.
Where do you get to? Like, don't get me wrong, when I was 16, I probably wanted to be in a Blink-182 cover band or Green Day cover band. But
I don't think you get anywhere, but you do get paid.
No.
Yeah, I mean, like, do you though?
But yeah, I think cover bands, you can get like, I think anywhere cover between bands like, £200 and £600 a night.
Yeah,
like,
but that's...
Depending on the sort of band it is.
My friend's playing a band called Elvana, which they make a bit of money from. Can you guess which cover?
Nirvana?
Good Charlotte.
No, Elvana. So they do
Spanish Nirvana.
Nirvana songs in the style of Elvis, and they have like Elvis.
Oh, Frank God.
Band. Oh, wow.
But they make a lot of money from it.
But yeah, that's the thing. I think, because you'll get booked for functions, and and there's always something on. So every weekend, because like my uncle plays, I mean, it's a bit different thing, but he plays in like rock and roll bands. Like 50 sort of like rock and roll bands, and yeah, they'd be putting in like £200-300 a night, which ain't huge when you split it for years, but you do that every weekend, yeah, that's like you're spending money for the month.
Yeah, but you're playing terrible covers to...
feel like if you
depends what you're willing to do. I feel this way about JLS as well. Depends what you're willing to do.
If you were... So you wouldn't be up for a JLS cover band?
No, I wouldn't be up for being in JLS. Like, just depends what you're willing to do, isn't it, music-wise?
I think if someone nabs you at 17 years old out of, like, drama school or whatever it is and goes, we're going to put you in, like, the biggest pop band in the, like, world or whatever.
You think JLS is the biggest pop band in the world?
I don't know. Just, yeah, like, no, for 2 years, just go, and then you grow up a bit and go, right, we'll quit that and we'll do something else.
I wouldn't do it.
No, well, you've got integrity.
I definitely
anyway, don't. We're getting well off track here. Yeah.
Where are we going? Where's the track going?
Oh,
where's this train going?
I don't know. Well, have you got anything else you want to ask, Mike?
There's a rail replacement.
Huh?
I think there's a rail replacement.
There's a rail replacement. Bus service. Yeah, I think we might have.
You've exhausted everything.
I kind of want to be excited about what Pacer are going to do in the future. But unfortunately, you've started...
There will be more things. It's just, yeah.
Well, it's the Iron Sheik show for now.
So yeah, Iron Sheik. And then...
What date is the Iron Sheik show?
Oh, it's May the 4th.
May the 4th.
Oh, that's quite exciting.
Is that a
you
day?
You know, you think a date in your head and then all of a sudden I was like, oh, wait, it's Star Wars Day.
It's Star Wars Day.
Undoubtedly, might dress up.
Everyone in Pacer dress up.
Yeah,
because of May the Force Be With You, May the 4th is unofficially a Star Wars Day amongst Star Wars fans.
I get it.
I wonder if that... Yeah. If it's like, you know, vocally recorded, does that mean that everyone's kind of committed to it even if they don't know about it? I can just be like, yeah, guys, we'll totally like all dress up as Star Wars things and it'll be amazing.
Yeah, I think this is like a contract that they've all now agreed to.
Cool.
There you go. Yeah. So there you go, Pacer. You've all got to dress up as Ewoks.
Well, Katie's the perfect size for an Ewok. So, yeah.
You could be a good Ewok.
I can't now. I've shaved.
Nah. You've still got a fuzzy head.
Was there ever a ginger Ewok?
Yeah, of course there was. Chief Higginbottoms. Laying out these head bell schematics. Lessons I oversimplify. Comfort in giving up trying to try. Just give me something I can fix. Bread and metals, wood and bricks. It's automatic. I just wanna fix things. Even if there is no easy way, I am a fixer made of broken parts. But I know that's the way.
Is there anything else you want to ask Mike before we wrap up? I mean, like, you normally...
What kind of bass do you play?
It's a Fender Jazz.
Nice.
Yeah.
Amplifying?
Heart King. Mm. Yeah.
Pretty sweet.
250? Maybe it's a 300.
Okay.
I'll tell you what.
Any pedals? Big fuzz probably. Like
no, that. I've got a just a Sans amp that I constantly tweak because I can't get happy with sounds.
Okay.
Yeah. Every time I get happy, I think I'm happy, and then I'm not. Metaphor. Bass tone is a metaphor for life.
Yes, it is. Have you thought about getting a Zoom? With a wah.
Oh, man, a wah bass. Now, what I used to like is every now and then I like, go to practice space, and they've got like those really old like spider amps and stuff.
Yeah.
And they've got like the computerized bass setting.
Okay.
You turn that, crank that right up. It's amazing. It sounds like you're in mouthwash.
Brilliant. I'm good.
You done with the bass stuff?
Yeah.
Is there anything else you want to tell us, Mike, before we finish?
No. I think I've said anything. Recap. I will desperately try and think of what Dave's playing under now.
Mm. Well, it's too late.
Oh, no, he's going
to... We should wrap up.
I'll make sure he just doesn't listen. Put a big like. Put a big thing over this. Dave House, do not listen.
Yeah, that's the title. Dave House, do not listen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then he can just tweet everyone and be like...
Okay, well, look, I think that's the end of it, don't you?
Yeah?
Yeah, pretty much there.
You've probably missed something like...
Oh, fuck, really, I've got you in Minor Threat.
I think that's it for tonight. So, thank you, Mike, for coming. Yeah.
Thank you, Mike.
It's been a pleasure having you here. We're going to have a few weeks off, so back in April, I think.
Yeah.
Cheers. Cheers, guys.
Bye.
Buenas noches.
Check on work?
Yeah.
Oh shit. Thank you. That's what I just like this little window.
So it's easier to get here.
Well, it wasn't easy for you to get here, was it?
Yeah. Look, it was fine. I got lost and then I got turned round again.
That's nice that you bumped into Greg.
Yeah, he scared the shit out of me. I was walking along looking at my phone, he just tapped me on the shoulder quite forcibly. I was like,
He's quite an imposing fellow, Greg.
He's just sort of knock up and go.
Has he still got Korean hair? He's got like sort of Japanese.
Oh, it's a little bit manga, isn't it? Yeah, I was thinking it looks a bit like Ian Watkins, but I don't think anyone's allowed to reference that.
No. Well, that's going at the end. Right.
That could be the title. Ian Watkins' hair.
Oh.